This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So I have a vivid memory of being 15 and being on a coach with my grandma on the way to London to visit Buckingham Palace. Now, this was a tour party, so everybody on the coach was going to the same place, but we didn't know each other. I was probably the youngest person on the coach. Most of the people were of a similar age to my grandma. And as everybody were finding their seats, an elderly man and an elderly woman were seated in front of us. And they said hello, and they asked me if I was looking forward to going to London and visiting Buckingham Palace. I politely engaged in conversation. I said hello, and this led them to asking me questions like, who was I? What's my name? What school do I go to? And who I'm with? Now, my grandma was sat next to me, and I could tell that she wasn't really happy about this. I could tell by her facial expressions, her body language. And as we started to set off, my grandma told me off. She said that I shouldn't be speaking to these people because I didn't know them, because they were strangers. In society, we are typically taught this from a young age, and some even have a nickname for how we might teach our children this: stranger danger. So today, I would like to take a fresh look at a famous story that Jesus told as a parable when he was asked, "Who is my neighbour?" Now, this is in Luke 10 from verse 25, and the story is about a radical transformation of the way we interact with those whom we are not familiar, and perhaps how you deal with danger, stranger. Stranger danger, should I say. So let's take a look at the scripture. So from Luke 10, 25 to 35. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbour?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.'" Why did Jesus depict a Samaritan as the one who showed mercy on the injured man? Samaritans criticized Jews for what they saw as changing and corrupting the true faith. They claimed it was them and not the Jews that were following the true religion of their shared ancestors. Consequently, Samaritans and Jews were not just strangers to each other, but enemies. So the story of the Good Samaritan is not just a story about translating faith into action. It's a story about translating faith into a radical approach to those with opposing values and beliefs. How do we welcome the stranger? Take a moment to think about who feels opposed to you. Do you have strong political views and see others' side as against you? Or how do you feel about people who don't take social distancing as serious as you, and perhaps get in your personal space at the supermarket. This story is not about being charitable to those who are like us, but those who are opposed to us. Who is a threat to your belief system or your cultural values? Who are the strangers in our lives? Who are the people who hold different views to us, look different, behave different? Those are the ones who we should take special care to have a radically generous attitude towards. So I would like to look at five things briefly that the Good Samaritan actually did. So the Jericho Road was notoriously dangerous. Muggins were really common, hence the fate of the injured man. The Samaritan, he would have had a very busy schedule, focused on getting to his destination. But he stopped. He allowed his plans and his schedules to be interrupted. Now, last week, I was on a bike ride with my two sons, Ethan and Elliot. Ethan, age 6, he went on ahead and he turned the corner and he was just out of sight. And as we got nearer, someone was coming in the other direction. Now, although Ethan wasn't out of my sight for long, there was somehow a natural uncertainty or perhaps suspicion as I caught the stranger's eye. And once I had caught up with Ethan, he told me that he had fallen off his bike. And in his words, he said the stranger had stopped and asked if he was okay and helped him off the floor. Now, this was an interaction with lots of risk of being misinterpreted or rejected by Ethan or by myself. Lone adults aren't supposed to talk to lone children, but he saw Ethan, he saw his need, and he stopped. Do we take the time to stop, allowing our plans and our schedules to be interrupted? In sharp contrast to the priest and the Levi, who consciously avoided the injured man and they passed on the opposite side, the Samaritan, he approached him. It wasn't that the injured man approached the Samaritan to ask for help. It was the other way around. And the text says that the Samaritan went to him. The Samaritan took the initiative. Now, last week I was shopping and sat outside the supermarket was a man shivering, wrapped up in a blanket. And when I saw him, I tried to imagine what must that be like. I approached him. I knelt down and I asked him if he needed anything. His answer was simple. He just wanted some food. So I went into the store and I got him what he asked for. Do we take the initiative? Do we approach people in need? Luke described the man as half dead. So we can assume that he was lying on the floor, lying on the ground. And the way I picture it is that the Samaritan, that he stopped his journey, he approached him and he got down onto the ground where the man was injured. And I think he did this to see what had happened and see how he could help him. Now, I have a vivid memory when I was a youth worker and we used to go around Leeds and we used to do home visits where we used to offer support and help to families. And I particularly remember one time doing a visit where the living conditions were really bad, unimaginable, to be honest. And I remember thinking, what must it be like to live in this environment, in those conditions? Entering that situation, I could see the need. And then as a team, we could identify how we could help and support that family. Do we put ourselves in other people's situations? And do we really see their needs and then respond to those needs? Now, having identified his needs, the Samaritan did something about it. He dressed his wounds. He didn't just leave him in the same condition that he found him, but he responded to his immediate needs. Now, I actually broke down in the fast lane on the M1 once. My clutch snapped And immediately a van pulled in front of me and another one behind me to shield me from danger. Once I explained what had happened, they pushed me to the hard shoulder. Now, this was really risky. They put themselves in danger, but they addressed my immediate need. They got me to safety. Are we willing to take risks? Are we willing to tend to people's needs? The Samaritan, he didn't tell the injured man what he had to do or where he had to go or what he should do to get that help. Instead, he provided for him. He used his knowledge and his resources that he had himself. Where did the Samaritan get those resources to help that man? A denarius was about a day's wage. Now, I had to use a calculator to work that one out. And this was a road that was infamous for robbers. So it's unlikely that Samaritan took extra money with him. No, this money was taken from what the Samaritan had brought along to provide for himself. The Samaritan gave sacrificially to provide a space for healing for that injured man. Now, once I was heading home from Southampton on a flight, I had been at a funeral for a long-standing family friend, and it had been a day trip, and all the travelling and the emotions of that day had been really draining. And at that time, I had my seven-month-old baby with me. The flight was delayed and it was getting later and later. Suddenly, a man approached me and he sat down next to me. We engaged in a conversation which led me to share why I was in Southampton. He asked if I had eaten and he insisted that he would pick something up for me so I had something to eat. He provided for me. Now, his generosity just didn't stop there. He helped me onto the plane. He stayed with me. He asked if he could sit next to me on the plane. And he even made sure that when we had landed, I had got into the taxi when we arrived in Leeds. That man, a stranger, made an impact. He made a difficult time easier. Are we willing to use the resources and the knowledge that we have to provide for others? Through the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus challenges us to consider our own attitude. After telling the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus tells his audience, "Go and do likewise." Jesus did not make this as a suggestion to his followers. He modeled it to them. And many of my favourite Bible stories are those where Jesus surprises us by who he hangs out with. Now, we're going to explore this a little bit more in the study this evening. So if you would like to find more out about that, then please join me. But briefly, who Jesus hung out with: the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4, drawing on water on her own at an inappropriate time of day, suggesting that she had been rejected by her community. Or Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, the story of a short man who had to climb a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. He was a tax collector, which meant he oppressed his fellow citizens by taking money from them on behalf of the Roman occupation. And he most probably cheated them out of even more by inventing extra taxes in order to line his own pocket. Or the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5. He was clearly very angry and disconnected. He lived in a graveyard and dead bodies were unclean to the Jews. And thus this man was not someone who you were supposed to go near. Jesus talks to, spends time with, and meets the needs of these people. Just take a moment to consider, who are the strangers for you? Who might not it feel natural to interact with, to help, or to provide for? Perhaps a person you don't know, someone who is not familiar, perhaps someone from a different ethnic culture, or someone who has a very different opinion to you. Now, COVID has prevented us from many of our usual activities, but it should not stop us from loving others and reaching out to them. So to summarise, what does it mean for us to stop and notice someone in need? It may feel risky to approach someone in need. We might need to rethink how we approach people with social distancing, but let's not have a childhood fear of stranger danger. What does it mean for us to get to where they are? Sit down on the street? Visit someone's home when it is safe and legal to do again? Or reinterpret this to online spaces? Many of us are investing time and energy into tending to the needs of those around us, maybe our family or church friends. But are we also willing to make room for the stranger? Are we willing to take our own resources to provide for others? Now, this year as a church community, we've been organising gifts for people and hampers just to bless others. And there are many ways that we can use our time, our money and our energy to support others in need. And like David and Alison said, for more information, just go to the website and you can find out how you could get involved. Are we willing to share our resources for the benefit of others? Jesus talks to, he spends time with, and he meets the needs of numerous outcasts, foreigners and oppressors, numerous strangers. Jesus models to us welcoming strangers, and through the story of the Good Samaritan, he challenges us to do the same. Let me pray for us. Father God, I pray that you would help us to identify who the strangers are to us in our lives. Please help us to have a radically generous attitude towards them. I pray that we would talk to, spend time with, and meet the needs of those who it might not feel natural to interact with, those who are different to us or have opposing points of views to us. And Father, would you forgive us when we have not done this very well? Help us to do what Jesus does and go and do likewise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hand back to David and Alison.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. Let's just stay with that prayer for a little bit longer. This year we've been through the story on Sunday nights sometimes, and through other things we've been just responding to the issues raised by the murder of George Floyd earlier in the year. And I sense that some of us are going through a learning. All of us are on a sort of progression of becoming aware of the stranger and the other and how we respond to them. And I just sense that as Sarah was preaching, some of you, this is a point. She's pressing on something which is not comfortable. It certainly is for me. I'm finding this that I'm having each time I think I've made some progress, I find there's another stage to go in accepting the other and ministering to the other and sharing what I've got with others. So I just want to pray for those of you who are aware of that going on in your heart right over these now, but also over these months. And just I want to take you through some prayer on hearing what God's doing in you and progressing it. And it starts with repentance. So let's just pray. Somebody had a prophecy for us this morning about a sheet being full of provisions for the people of the vineyard, hovering over us, and in it was provision for healing and forgiveness and I just sense that as we come to the Lord with
a repentant heart saying, I need to do some more work here, and my heart isn't in the right place. There's provision. God is full of grace and forgiveness and wants us to make progress through this. So, Lord, I ask you to come now to all of us who've sensed this going on in our hearts and minds. What Sarah was talking about, that approach to the other person. Some of us know exactly who that is. For some of us, it's more amorphous. It's more a group of people or other people not like us. Lord, we just acknowledge that this is an area that we need to repent of. We need your forgiveness. And we say sorry for those little resistances in our hearts, those little excuses that we make, the reasons that we give, the justifications that we speak over ourselves. Well, Lord, we're sorry, and we ask you to forgive us for those. And I pray that for me and for all my brothers and sisters who are at this place in different ways, would you come and would you grant us the, we could call it the Good Samaritan anointing, that the eyes to see the other, the eyes to love, to be able to give and to minister to, and to be your hands in the world for others, to be able to step down from our places of privilege and power, to be able to share, to kneel beside others.